Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Okay, so hey, we have some guests. I don't know if everybody knew that or if you just thought, man, this is a cool church. I need to go check it out. You're in luck today because we have some special guests here. We are a Partners in Harvest church where many of you have heard the story of how we joined Partners in Harvest. It was sovereign. My wife and I got touched, as many of you did, who were actually saved in the mid-2000s when we were touched by what God was doing really all over the earth. But really the hot spot of it was in Toronto. And I had a dramatic encounter with the love of the Father. Actually, in Cutler Ridge at Cecil Warren's church, when the Synods were there, who were the worship leaders of Toronto, who have now, I don't know if you know this or not, they're leading a church now, isn't that right? The Synods are leading a church. The Synods are leading a church now in a city in Canada. They like to be specific. As many of us Americans know, there's just one city in Canada. It's called Canada. And they have a leader. We don't know who it is because we're America. So we got touched. And when we planted the church, we were independent. And how many of you know God doesn't like independence as much as we think?
That's true.
Anyway. We were looking for a network. And we value relationship really highly at Revival Life Church. We're not looking to. We love Jesus. We found that Jesus likes to call out people.
Yeah.
He'll call you out individually, but he puts a solitary in family. And there's a lot of really neat whiz-bang networks happening, and I wouldn't put any of them down. Some of them more popular than others right now. But as we went around to different networks, there was only one that we could develop relationships in, and that was Partners in Harvest. And we so desired relationship. We desired accountability. We desired people to work alongside us and who we could work alongside. We went up to check out Partners in Harvest, and instantly we had friends all over the nation who began saying, "Hey, call me if you need anything. We wanna partner with you." And I don't know if you know this. Those of you who are in ministry leadership know this. Often, "we want to partner with you" means I want to come preach at your church. That's what "partner with you" often means. You meet somebody and say, "Hey, I'm gonna come alongside and partner." That means I'd sure like to come to your church and take my own offering. And we weren't as excited about that option. But when they said "partner with you," that meant like, "We want to help you and receive nothing in return," which was kind of weird for my wife and I. We kept waiting for, you know, the clause, but there wasn't one.
There's
which
no
was
clause.
Neat. And so we became full Partners in Harvest, a full Partners in Harvest church. As you know, John and Carol Arnott, they led the revival in Toronto. They led the church that hosted the revival. But the most remarkable part, if that's all they did, that'd be awesome. If they just the fact that they're forever going to have to be written in the history books, if you're going to write about revival, you can't leave them out forever. That would be enough. That would be enough. You could just retire on that, hand out that business card, and just travel and make a lot of money. Can I just be honest? You're set. If you can just start a worldwide revival, you're kind of set ministerially forever. But if that's all they did, that would be awesome. But they didn't. They still walk with the same people 20 years later. And they've worked hard to manage relationships, to be relational with people. And that's so admirable to me in this day and age, especially in South Florida, where nobody's from here and everybody's leaving to go somewhere. And people don't feel the need to develop relationships. And people will say, Steve Long, who now leads the senior pastor, I believe he calls himself the senior leader now, not the senior pastor. Jesus is a senior pastor, they say. Talked to Steve Long. He said, "I've been in the same small group for, 16 years or something like that." I'm like, "That's, wow, you know." And so we really value the relational aspect of Partners in Harvest. We're looking to create a container that God can fill long term. Amen? 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 And so they're going all over the world. They're awesome, and you love them. You'd like me to stop talking so you can hear them. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to receive them, and while you're cheering loudly, wait for your moment, my wife and I are going to have a picture with them. So act like that's not vain, okay? I want you to act like that's perfectly normal in a church service for someone to take a picture with them. But you just cheer while it's happening, and you won't even notice, okay? Is that okay? So if you would, stand with me to honor our honored guests, Pastors Pastor John and Carol Arnott. If you would come, please.
This is good.
Okay. 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 Not okay.
Why don't you pray for somebody else while we're waiting? Just lean over to them and say, fire on you, and let heaven come down. Wow. Wow. It's really, really good to be here with our dear friends, Dan and Gwen, as well. And Dan is the international director of our movement, Partners in Harvest, who has been here recently. Dan, just come say hi, and Gwen, just come say hi to them.
Hi, everybody. I said last time I was here, arriba. I just want you to know, you know, I've been with John for about 20 years, and I know he really likes it and feels at home here, because I've never seen him on the platform with his shirt, alt collar, and his buttons all the way down to the middle. So he feels right at home here. I can tell you. I said last time, I think this church is what God had in mind when he thought about America. Filled with the presence of God, multicultural, multigenerational, joyful. This is what the Lord had in mind for this great nation. And this church is a microcosm of that. And we love you guys. You're just a family, of course. We bless you. And hey, for those of you who came last year in May to North Carolina, we're going to have another time in the second week of May coming up. And we'll find a place for you guys to stay. We'd love to have you again. So bless you. I'm off to Nicaragua in about 15 minutes. So.
And I'm off to back home in a little while. But thank you. We love being here. I was just telling Carol, you're becoming one of my favorite churches. And I wish I lived closer just to come here all the time. Yeah. But you guys don't, you're not online, are you streamlining it? No. Someday do that, okay? Then we can... Is podcast? Okay, I'll have to check it out, because it's a blessing to be here, and we just get so refreshed and so touched just being with you guys. Thank you. Yeah.
We love you.
I said to Carol, why don't you, pray for the sick or something for a few minutes, and but I don't know if that's going to happen. Pray for the sick, Carol. Wow. Wow. Has anyone got a testimony of something the Lord's done recently? Just, we had a smaller gathering last night with some of the leaders. Had a couple of kind of neat healings. Anybody want to share that at all? Yeah? Good. Can you remind me your name again? Lillian. All right. Come on, Lillian.
So a couple years back, I was put on medication for something called PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, where you get cysts on your ovaries and they're really painful. And I was put on medication to prevent the cysts from forming, but I can't be on that medication if I ever want to get pregnant. So, you know, my husband and I have been praying, and not to say we're trying, but... we decided that I was going to stop the medication at the beginning of this year. And because I know next week I'll hear something from somebody. So we decided that I was going to stop the medication at the beginning of this year, and I was really dreading the symptoms coming back. And so for the majority of the day yesterday, I spent it in bed with a lot of pain. Like, I was in so much pain, I could barely walk. I was taking ibuprofen and aspirin, like, every 2 hours, alternating them, and it really wasn't doing anything for my pain. And I had to go lead worship at the office, and I was really excited, but I was bummed out because I was in a lot of pain, and I can barely, like, move. And so, we got through worship, and... and so we got through worship, and I sat down, and the Pastor Arnott called out. He said, "Is there anybody in the room that has pain, that's in a great deal of pain?" And I raised my hand, and he called me up to the front, and as soon as I stepped up, I was like, "Wait, did I just lie? Because I feel nothing. Like, I don't feel any pain, nothing." And I was, like, trying to stretch and, like, do stuff that would make me feel the pain. And, you know, he prayed for me for, like, 10, 15 minutes. And I, you know, just felt the presence of God. And the pain was gone. Like, it was, there was no more pain. And even this morning... this morning when I woke up, usually the mornings I'm woken up in such pain. I haven't had pain this morning at all, like nothing.
That's so good. That's really good. But that's what he's like, isn't it? He does not want you to go through life in pain and everything. That's one of the things that Jesus took the whipping for. So let's stretch our hands toward her and to bless her again. That same wonderful anointing that healed her yesterday comes upon her again now. You who heal us, you are the one who keeps us by that anointing that breaks every yoke. We're so grateful to you, Jesus. So grateful. Fire on her. Have you noticed that the anointing is a bit debilitating? When he comes on you, you know, things start slowing down and seizing up and, yeah, brain goes fuzzy and all kinds of neat things as God takes over. So I'm just really, really thrilled for you. Anyone else in pain here this morning? It's more fun in the church when the pain goes away. You can enjoy the rest of the meeting. Why don't you just stand up? In fact, let's all stand. If you have no need of anything, well, fine, that's good. But if there is health issues or pain, you know, we always go through something. Carol and I are going through something. I mean, I can't stand too long. She can't sit too long. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So it's got knees and backs and all that kind of stuff, forever needing the touch of God. But think about this, friends, that Jesus took that whipping while the Father watched and allowed the whole thing. It wasn't just that the Romans were extra cruel that day or something. It was all part of the divine plan because Isaiah wrote about it and said that he carried our sicknesses and bore our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. And, you know, some people get all distracted. Well, is healing in the atonement or whatever? You know, listen, everything's in the atonement. Jesus is the reason for everything that is coming our way. And so we realize that the healing that you and I need is already paid for by Christ. He took the whipping and paid for that suffering, and then he died to pay for our sin. And it's this free gift of love that's coming our way. And so there is no sickness in heaven. If the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then when that kingdom comes into your life, you have the opportunity to be totally free of that. So let's just ask him. Just tell him, Lord, I really, really need a healing this morning. I really need this or that. And listen, nothing's too big and nothing's too small. He cares about everything. Lord, your kingdom is within our reach. It's at hand. And we lift our hands then and reach for your kingdom, just like little kids would do. We reach up and put our hands into that invisible presence of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God. And by faith, we take a hold of it. And we bring heaven down. And we rub that anointing into our bodies and into our need. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Now just let the presence go in right now. And say this with me. This healing belongs to me. Because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now. As a free gift of his love. Now breathe it in. Father, we tell pain to go. We tell hearing problems to go. We tell eye problems to go. Tumors to go. Fear to go. Insomnia to go. Sleeplessness to go. Nightmares to go. And every attack of the enemy on these precious ones, it can go right now in Jesus' name. Just tell him again, Lord, I receive it now. Without striving, without getting all worked up, I just receive it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now check yourself and do what you couldn't do a moment ago. Without difficulty, just check yourself out. How are we doing? Where are the people that had pain? Let's see. You had it. You still have it. How are you doing? Feeling better? Where was your pain?
Well, what happened was I came in fine, and then all of a sudden my head got like cloudy, and then my eyes got droopy, and then I'm like, I'm not feeling so well. Then I couldn't worship if I started feeling nauseous. And then when we started praying, almost immediately when we started praying, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling better. This thing is lifting. And now I feel better.
Come on, wonderful. What was going on with you? Your shoulder. How long had it been bothering you? A long time. And how is it now? Much better. Like how much better? 80%. Come on out here for a second. And yeah. Let me have a couple of these young people just soak you for another minute. Just tell it all to go. See, if someone's 80% better, what's that tell you? We're almost there, yeah? God's doing it. Who else is feeling better? Wave at me. What's going on?
I had wrist issues from my job, and it doesn't hurt at all.
I had back pain. It's 90% gone.
Wow. How long did you have it for?
I've had it for several months, if not like the last year, because I just sit at a desk all day and night. So.
That's great. Who else was waving here? This side. Anyone? Your hand is almost up. What's going on?
I have pain, but you said, has the pain left?
Right.
But I have pain.
Where is your pain? For how long?
4 years.
4 years. All right.
On the side of my head, down my neck, and there's disc problems there.
What caused it?
Lifting things.
Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I forgive myself.
For not being more careful.
Have mercy on me.
Heal me now.
Amen. Lord, we just tell this disc and strain and everything, 4 years of pain, to come out of her right now. In the name of Jesus. Because it's your mercy abundant on her. All of it goes. Ah. Now check it and tell me if we're getting anywhere there. Feels like the teeth are still in there. That's an interesting analogy. It says, it feels like a dog bit me and the teeth are still there. I know. We take authority over that dog. And we cut that off in Jesus' name. Check it again. How much better? How much do you think? Like a 10% or? Yeah, that's a start, isn't it? Keep going. And like I said to them the other day, if you, when you start to see that thing beginning to loosen, let go, that's not to say, well, we tried, God bless you, you know. Just press in on that. Let me have a couple of the team just come and keep soaking this lady right here. And take authority over that, but most important, let the anointing go in, because that's what really does it. Who else was saying something happened to them? Yeah.
I've been having a lot of joint pain everywhere. My neck hurts terribly, my hip, and I haven't been sleeping well at night. I have pain. So.
And is anything going on?
Yeah, I can still feel it. My
You can feel it, but are you any better? Are we getting anywhere, in other words? Is it helping? I hope so. Come on. Jesus. What I think we should do one time is like have a worship night and then just keep praying for the sick until there's no pain left in the whole room. Wouldn't that be great? And just do something like that. Stretch your hands toward her and not just, hey, we wish you well, but send the anointing that's within you into this woman, because it is the anointing that breaks that yoke. Lord, whatever the cause, shock, trauma, injury, oh, we forgive. And we look to your mercy right now. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Grace, grace, grace coming upon her. And we tell it all to go. All of the pain, go from her by the anointing. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thicken your presence in this room. Increase it, Holy Spirit. Increase it, Holy Spirit. Thanks. How's that feeling? Are we getting anywhere?
Yes.
Yes?
I feel so softened up or warm, I guess.
Are you new to this church?
Yeah, I'm visiting. I just came to see you guys.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, that warmth you're feeling, that's our friend, the Holy Spirit, on you. Ah, just take another drink of that. More, 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 more. Let me take one or two more. Who else was, and some guys get around her and just finish her off for me. Who was waving over here that something happened to them? Yeah.
Had a knee problem for a long, long time. It's like 90-some percent gone. Hallelujah.
What happened to your knee?
Helicopters and motorcycles and horses and old. And I'm standing on the word old. Oh.
This is great, isn't it? Say this with me just for fun. Lord, I forgive myself.
Lord, I forgive myself.
for being really hard on my body and my knees.
Being really hard on my body and my knees.
Forgive my, what should we call it? Stupidity.
Forgive my stupidity.
And have mercy on me.
And have mercy on me.
And heal me totally right now.
And heal me totally right now.
Fire on that knee. Lord, I ask you to restore cartilage, rebuild cartilage, rebuild bone, just rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. And we just lift that old age thing off too. See, because you're going to live forever, right?
Amen.
So if you're going to live forever, what the heck is old?
Amen, brother.
You know? Check it for me.
I don't have any pain.
Come on, move over here. Stand behind us. Are you okay or you need another guy? Fire on him here in Jesus' name. Let it come.
Fire on you all.
Bless him.
Yeah.
You're just so happy. What's going on?
Because.
What?
Because I mean. The I am lives in me. How can I not be happy?
Fill her up, Daddy. Fill her up. Wow. Fill her up. Wow. Wow. Fill them all. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, take your seats. Take your seats again. You know, we...
What do you want?
That's good.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you for a few minutes today about what I call the convoluted journey. And as we think about the journey of life, you know, it can get quite interesting. How many have found that?
Yeah.
This bends somehow or other. And why I think this message is important is because I think that there's a level of confusion that can come upon us as Christians because we have not made room for adversity to come from time to time in our theology. And when I say that, I'm not saying we roll over for problems and just kind of let the enemy do what he wants to do, because that's not it. We're called to be an overcomer. And so... when adversity comes, we resist it, but sometimes it's more than you can handle, and it gets confusing. But we have this convoluted journey, meaning there's a journey of life that is kind of forward and back and left and right and up and down and in and out, and we can wonder after a while, what the heck is going on? Lord, why is life so hard? What's wrong with me? All these other Christians, they seem to be, it works for them, but I can't make it work for me. And I'm trying. I'm praying. I'm giving. I'm worshiping. I'm loving. I'm forgiving. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm reading my Bible. I'm sharing my faith. And, you know, you figure you're doing everything all right, and still there's problems. And, It backs all the way up to, God, are you watching? Are you seeing what's going on here? And I can remember one time just sort of looking up to heaven and saying, God, if you're serious about saving this whole world, why don't you just get on with it then? Like, do it already. And, you know, I was even willing to offer some helpful suggestions. Like, we need about, for starters, we need about 100 anointed like Jesus to just start going around the earth and raising the dead and doing it all. And you know, we just get the job done because we think that there's something lacking that's not pushing this thing ahead as fast as it needs to go, both on a personal level and on a much bigger corporate level. So the micro view and the macro view. Come on, God, what's the hold up here? Anybody? And I want you to know, just to take a deep breath and sit back and reassure you that everything is right on schedule with him. But the back and forth, up and down, in and out stuff is this convoluted journey that is purposefully testing your heart and mind. And so all this stuff is testing of our hearts. Because God knows that, hey, you and I do pretty good when everything's going our way, don't we? You ever had one of those weeks where everything just went great? You got a check in the mail, you know, you got a new car, you got a new job, you got a this and you got a that, and a blessing was coming out of nowhere, and the favor of the Lord was mightily on you, and you're just like, yes, we had a great week. How many have had a week like that? How many have had a week where everything went wrong? And you went, what's going on? God, where are you? I thought you loved me. And he said, well, I love you all right. I just want to see how you do under adversity. Now, how many come through adversity really full of smiles and saying, praise the Lord anyhow? You know, years and years ago, there was a book written by a guy. It was called The Power of Praise. And he was onto this whole thing, and it was like, praise the Lord anyhow. Even in the midst of the problems, you want to praise the Lord. And so we want to see how biblical this is. Okay, now, who's your favorite Bible character? Who? Peter, all right. Who else? Paul, Joseph, Moses, Mary, Daniel. Who? John the Beloved. Okay, now I want you to think of one who did not have adversity. Did someone say Jesus? He's your favorite? Did he know anything about adversity? Hey, if anyone knew how to live the Christian life, it had to be Jesus. And yet for him, it was not a walk in the park. It was duress. It was testing. It was pushing through. It was overcoming. Yeah, they had great, great victory days, meetings where everyone was healed and all that kind of stuff. But then there were other days that weren't so nice. And so with every Bible character, you see the testings of God going on. Now, how many here want Joseph's anointing? Come on. You want to be a ruler in the business world and successful? And, you know, Joseph was prime minister of Egypt. Okay, how many want his anointing? How do you get Joseph's anointing? He started out great. He was getting dreams from the Lord. Oh, he couldn't wait to tell his brothers, guys, I had this dream. You know, we were all harvesting the wheat and binding it into sheaves. And your sheaves all gathered around my sheaf and started bowing down to mine. Isn't that a cool dream? Then he had another one where even the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to him. And his father Jacob is like, what? You think your mother and I are going to bow down to you? Boy, you need to get a hold of yourself. And the brothers, how many have siblings, brothers and sisters? Do they love you? That's good, isn't it? Joseph's brothers didn't love him. And they wanted to kill him, but they settled for selling him into Egypt. And they sold him into Egypt. And he went on the auction block. Imagine how humiliating that is. But the Lord was with them, working in the background, and he got a good job in the house of the captain of the guard. And he did really well there. So somehow, he kept his heart right through it all. If anybody had grounds to be bitter, Joseph, let me just tell you what my family did to me. But he's not going there. He's making the most of it, trusting God and forgiving and keeping his heart right, apparently because the anointing is still on him. Then he's falsely accused of trying to rape the lady of the house and thrown into prison. I have a feeling that Potiphar didn't really buy the story because, you know, normally you would lose your head for something like that. But anyway, he's thrown in prison because you got to save face and all that sort of stuff. And Joseph is imprisoned now for the better part of 10 years. He was 17 when he was sold, and he wasn't out until he's about 30. So how long was he in Potiphar's house? I don't know, 2 or 3 years. He was in prison for the better part of 10 years. How many want Joseph's anointing? Let's see. Come on, this is how you get it. What's going on? This character building going on in Joseph right here. And when you think about it, the hatred of his brothers helped him get to his destiny more than all of their love ever could have, which is amazing. It's only something God could turn around, isn't it? But the day comes when the one guy remembered, Joseph interpreted his dream, tells Pharaoh, he comes before the king, explains the dream of the wheat, the fat wheat, the thin wheat, the fat cows, the thin cows, and says, famine's coming. He had the dream twice because the thing is certain and it's soon to come to pass. And boom, he's prime minister just like that. Where can we find anybody bright enough to manage this whole thing? You. Clean that guy up and he's next to me in the kingdom. That's amazing. That's amazing. The story of Joseph is a fascinating story because he's a type of Jesus, where Jesus has been rejected by his brothers, you know, Israel, and sent away, and he's viewed by the Jewish people as sort of a foreign god or foreign king. But actually, he's number two, isn't he, in the kingdom. So that's Joseph's story. And what I want you to see is even when things don't go your way, God is busy at work bringing it about, but there's one condition. You've got to keep your heart sweet. Now listen, please don't expect life to be a bed of roses, because it won't be. How many have already found that out? All right. It's what you do with it that is going to be the big thing. Let's take someone else. Who else do you like? How many like David? How many want David's anointing? King David. Well, you're all suspicious, aren't you? You're like, oh. Come on, David. The one who's after God's own heart. You want him. You want his anointing. You want to be like, he's a wonderful, wonderful type of Jesus. And so he's minding his own business. He'd killed the lion, killed the bear. And when he goes to his brothers, there's this Goliath, giant of Philistia, and he goes after him with a sling and a stone and a stick. Wow, what a champion. Goliath's offended at him. What am I, a dog that you come after me with a stick? Come here, boy, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David said, no, you come after me in the name of your gods, but I come after you in the name of the Lord God, Jehovah Almighty. And I'm going to feed you and your whole army to the birds today. And brought him down with one stone that hit the forehead and cut off his head with his own sword. Amazing. What a victory. And so he marries the king's daughter and everything's going great for a while. And you could say, wow, this faith walk, this journey with Jesus, this thing in the kingdom, this is really working for me. This is coming together here real well. But then Saul got jealous and everything went downhill. And the next thing you know, it became worse and worse. And David is over now in the camp of the Philistines in Ziklag, a little remote village, because even the Philistines didn't want him really. So he's in the middle of nowhere on the edge of their turf. And he went to help out in battle one day and got sent home. And when he got back home, he found that someone else had invaded their little town, burned it to the ground, and run off with all their stuff and all their children and all their wives. And his own men now want to stone him. Have you ever been there? What do? Is that the point you throw in the towel? Say, that's it, God. I've tried my best for you, and I've done this and I've done that, but where are you in the midst of the worst day of my life? I'm through. But that's not what David did. See, now, if you can just remember, when you're at your low point, and if you haven't ever had a low point, don't worry, you won't be left out. He runs to the Lord and says, what do I do? And the Lord says, go after them and you'll recover everything. So David takes a bunch of his guys, and sure enough, they go after him, and they recover everything. And then he gets word Saul has died in the battle, and Judah wants you to go there and be their king. So overnight, he's the king of Judah, and then I think it's about 7 years later, he's the king of the whole nation of Israel. And that's the story of the life of David. How many want his anointing? How do you get David's anointing? How do you learn to be a good leader? Whisper to your friend, I think it's adversity once in a while. Now, I'm not saying you sign up for it, and I'm not saying you roll over for it. I'm just saying that when it comes your way, you don't cave in and blame God and blame yourself and fall apart and have a pity party. I'm just saying, you know, you stand up and you say, in Jesus' name, we're going to go through this thing. And so you can take pretty much every Bible character, go through the Old Testament, try to find one that didn't have adversity. There aren't any. I've looked and looked. Sometimes they bring it on themselves. That's not what we're talking about today. But you can bring problems on yourself, right? Like Samson did. How many have messed up and brought problems on yourself? All right, well, we've all done that. But I'm just talking about life, doing what life can do. And so we get into the New Testament. Somebody loved Peter, Peter's anointing. How did Peter die? We don't really know, but tradition says he was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to die in the same manner that his Lord died. So they said, fine, we'll turn you upside down. You can die different then. And every single one of the apostles died a violent martyr's death, except one, John. And the tradition of John is that he was in a prison camp for a while where he wrote the book of Revelation, bless him. And then they tried to kill him by throwing him in boiling oil, and it didn't work. Now, that would be good on your resume, wouldn't it? If they tried to kill me, they threw me in boiling oil, but the Lord preserved me, and the heat of that oil had no power over me, in Jesus' name. Kind of like those three friends of Daniel. They're in the fire, but they're in the fire with a fourth man who looks like the Son of God. And the fire had no power over them. Even the smell of smoke was not on their clothes and on their bodies. That's amazing. Are you getting this? If you're going through stuff in right now, why don't you just lift your face to the Lord and say, thank you, Father, because you're the best dad in the whole world, and I'm going to trust you through it all, because we're just going to let the kingdom come and the will of God be done. All right. Let me see where we are in this. The scripture I wanted to refer to was Matthew 13, 24 to 30. It talks about the wheat and the tares. It's a parable of Jesus. And in the parable, they sow good seed in the field, and the wheat sprouts. But then an enemy went in and scattered weeds throughout the whole field. And it's like, now what do we do? Do you want us to go in and pull the weeds? No, he says, lest you disturb the wheat as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. So we're in a situation where good and evil is coexisting, growing together. And, you know, knowing a little bit about farming, I know that if wheat is trying to grow with weeds, it puts the wheat under stress and under duress. But the Lord thinks that's character building, because he's getting you and I ready for something. We are being prepared to be rulers and leaders in the kingdom of God. And so it's not for a novice. You know, you need someone who's been through a little bit of character building. So some of the scriptures that point to that, Psalm 34, 19 says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. All right, have you had afflictions? Have you had things go wrong? Anyone? It's not a negative confession, it's just the truth. You know, things go wrong from time to time. And sometimes it's heavy. We're talking to a lady today whose son died in a car accident. I mean, that's, how's that, you know, the will of God? It isn't, but yet he will turn that around and make it even a greater blessing. All things work together for good to those who love God. And so let's have a look at Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If I can find that quickly. Well, first of all, before I go to that verse, we'll go to Acts chapter 9. Now, Paul gave his testimony three times in the book of Acts. This is sort of the first one, where he is met by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he's blinded. Who blinded him, by the way? Yeah, the power of God blinded him. So, you know, when you see all these manifestations going on and people are falling or shaking or things are happening to them, it's the power of God touching them. And sometimes people have the notion that the Holy Spirit is such a perfect gentleman, he'll never do anything against your will. But that's not true. I mean, he's gentle and he's a gentleman mostly, but he can get tough with you if he needs to. And so here it's the Lord who blinded him. Imagine trying to explain that to his mother. Young guy comes to this church, and he falls to the ground, and he's blinded. And his mother's on the phone wanting to know, what have you done with my son over there? You're the weirdest cult of people I've ever run across in my life. And you're saying, Mom, no, it's God who did that. Well, here's Paul's story. And the Lord tells him up front. And so in the house of, when Ananias comes to him in verse 15, go, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. How many want a word from the Lord? Come on. How many want a word like that? Oh, no, not like that, Lord. But that's what Paul got. So let's read the list of things that came his way. And the point of this is talking about you and I being an overcomer, more than a conqueror. So 2 Corinthians 11:23, if I can find it. All right. Verse 23, he's going on about people that are criticizing him in writing. And are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, that's whippings, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Imagine the humility of being whipped publicly. That happened to Paul 5 times just from the Jews. He got 39 lashes 5 times. God, where are you? Oh, I'm here. You'll be okay. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At night, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils, waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirsting, fastings often, cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul didn't have an easy time of it, but what a champion he was, yeah? And sometimes, you know, when we're being led of the Holy Spirit, we make the assumption that when we're being led, that it's into blessing and into a bed of roses. And it's almost like every now and then the Lord will forget to tell you some of the details of the hardships that can go along with it. So you can make this kind of your own. But think about Paul and Silas getting ready to go on a missionary journey. I mean, Dan and Pastor are going on a missionary journey to Nicaragua, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit's leading them, and we pray for great favor on that, don't we? But Paul was praying for his mission trip, and he tried to go into Asia, and the Lord said no. He tried to go here, and the Lord said no. He tried to go there. The door didn't open. One night, he has a dream. And in the dream, there's a man of Macedonia, which is northern Greece. And he's saying, come over here and help us. And so Paul gets up and takes Silas with him. And they're on a ship the next day, and they're heading for Macedonia. And they arrive in their... in the chief city there, and it all goes pretty well. They met a woman and a prayer meeting, and they found a little group of believers, and they go from there. But there's this slave girl who's following them, and I think in a mocking voice, she keeps saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they're telling us the truth of God and all that kind of thing. But he recognized it was a demon spirit in her, giving her the ability to tell fortunes and stuff. And so after 3 days of that, he'd had enough, and he rebuked that spirit and cast it out of her. And now the guys who owned that slave girl are really upset because they lost their business from her. And they had him arrested and thrown into prison, and there he is in the dungeon. And they beat him and lashed them and then put them in the stocks. Now, stocks are where your feet and hands are locked down, sometimes both, sometimes just your feet. And there they are, sitting there. Now, I want you to imagine that that is you with Paul. So you are Silas in the story. What are you going to say to him? You lean over. Your back is killing you, bleeding. And you say two things. I have to go to the bathroom. And I can't move. You and your stupid dreams. Look where we are now. Is that what he did? No. What does he do? He's an overcomer. So he presses in and says, come on, man. This is getting all over us. You know, let's sing. What was that song that worship guy at the fire church wrote? You know, let's just sing that. And they begin to praise and worship and thank God. It's midnight. And they start worshiping. And all the other prisoners heard them. Shut up over there. We're trying to sleep. Hallelujah, Lord, you're good, you're good, you're good. And they just kept on. All of a sudden now, there's an earthquake, and all the prisoners are set free. So I preached on that in a jail one time. They all loved that, you know. Everybody's free. And the jailer wakes up. Oh, my goodness, all the prisoners are set free. Where's my sword? I'm going to kill myself. Paul shouts out, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And the guy calls for a light. He comes in, falls before him, trembling, scared the liver out of him. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. See, God working in adversity. Now, there's a couple of little things that friends have said about this over the years. One of them was Jack Taylor. Jack was at one time vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He lives in Florida, up further from you in Melbourne. But anyway, he says this, that you never fail with God. You just keep retaking the test until you pass. Now, that's good to know, isn't it? So if you wonder why this thing keeps coming around again, he wants you to pass. And Bob Mumford said it in a little different way. He said it like this. How many know Bob Mumford? He's been around Florida and things like that now. He said, if you fix the fix that God has fixed to fix you, he will fix another fix to fix you. You follow that? In other words, he's on your case. And he's not going to let you and I away with bad behavior and spoiled brat mentality and entitlement mentality. He wants to make a champion out of you because you have an amazing destiny in God. And it's not all going to be easy and it's all going to be fun, but if you remember to praise the Lord anyhow, then he will turn it around for you. And I think everybody gets a turn or two at this. The long dark night of the soul for me was when my first marriage failed. Because at that point, I'd been to Bible school and I was wanting to get into ministry. And yet it just seemed to be unraveling. And the more that I tried to fix it, the worse it got and the more hopeless it got. And the day came when it was over. It was over and there was nothing I could do about it. Court orders in place and boom, and it was done. And I just felt so bad. And I can remember the temptation coming and trying to stick on me. Why don't you just forget about God? Why don't you just forget about all this Jesus stuff? Why don't you go out and just live it up? And because you can't make it work for you. And I can remember in brokenness being on my knees at about 3 o'clock one morning saying, God, I've come too far with you to turn back now. I'm not blaming you for this. This is sin doing this. This is people doing this. This is life doing this. This is circumstances doing this. But I'm not blaming you. And if you don't fix this, I'm going to trust you. Either you fix this or something better. And there's the something better up there. I don't think I could have ever led a revival like we have done without Carol. Because, you know, we're just so compatible in this whole thing. So, I don't know, the moral of that story, whatever you do, marry the right person. Yeah, we all try, don't we? Okay. But anyway, so adversity comes. And I don't want it to pull the rug out from under you, but I want you to just stand a little taller and with all the more determination, say, I am going through for the glory of God. In Jesus' mighty name, I am going to go through this thing. Yeah. You know, when you forget to tell your iPad never turn off, it keeps going off on you, doesn't it? So bear with me. What about your personal journey? Everybody's got a story. But let it not be a story of defeat. Have you had friends that dropped out? Sometimes the very one that leads you to Christ drops out. And you're kind of like, what? But that kind of thing happens. But God is testing hearts, and it's a necessary part of you and I growing into Christ's likeness. Now, Proverbs 13:15 says this, the way of the transgressor is hard. So if you think life is hard with Christ, try it without him. Then you find out what pressure and adversity really is. So we're not talking about, we're talking about the best way forward is you and I serving God, and from time to time, a little bit of adversity. Make room for it in your theology, but don't give in to it. Let me put another little twist on it. Have you ever thanked God for unanswered prayer? Let me think about that one. So I begged him to restore that first marriage. I named it, I claimed it, I yelled, I stomped, I did it all, you know. But now you know what? I'm like, thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. Because see, he comes along with something better, but you need to pass the test. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to be an overcomer in this situation. Let's just read some scripture quickly. Romans 8:18. The suffering of this present time is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. Point to your friend and say, glory is going to be revealed in you. And the little bit of stuff you go through once in a while, it's not even worthy to be compared. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, All things, the good, the bad, the ugly, all things work together for good. Matthew 25:21 says, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Amen. I like the one in Luke 19:17-19. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over 5 cities. Come on. I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. Okay, so what city would you like to rule over in the millennial kingdom? Anybody want Boca Raton? I said, Lord, give me Toronto. I will sort it out for you. Can you imagine having the unlimited power of God behind you and you can go in and clean up that city? Just we know exactly what to do. We know what destroys people, what corrupts people, what ruins their lives, what hurts them, whatever. I mean, oh, it'd just be amazing. That's where we're headed, everybody. James 1:4, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptation. Hebrews 12:2-8, he, Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame. Matthew 16:24, we do not get Christianity without a cross. You know, a lot of time we spend all kinds of energy trying to work out how that we can have our Christian faith without any trials and troubles and testing. Well, I want Christianity, but I don't want the cross. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, none of us are built for, we're built for love. We're built for joy and peace. It's not that we want to sign up for adversity, but it needs to be incorporated in there. 1 Peter 1:7, he says, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Do you know how they refine gold? Fire. They keep heating it up to 1,000 degrees C and skimming off the impurities. And so by the time they do that about 7 times, then they stamp it and say it's 99.999% pure. That would be you, wouldn't it? Come on, just look at your friend and say, you're going through this fire and you're going to make it. He's preparing you to be ruler over cities. Now let me ask you this. How many of you really, really want to be an overcomer? Let heaven see your hand. All right, now listen carefully. Overcomers need some things to overcome. How many are still in? All right, so when stuff goes wrong, don't throw in the towel and lapse into a pity party and try to punish God by backsliding. Just say no. He's making me into a champion. I'm an overcomer. I'm going to go for it in Jesus' name. There's a whole list of them here. I think it's at least 16 times it uses this word in the New Testament. John 16:23, be of good cheer, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Romans 12:21, Paul writing, don't let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. That's an overcomer. Romans 12:21, overcome evil with good. 2 Peter 2:19, by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. So if the enemy wins, guess what? You end up in bondage. You end up worse off than before. Make up your mind. No, I'm going to pass the test. 1 John 2:13-14, speaking to them all like you men and so on, you have overcome the wicked one. Now, Satan is a powerful fallen angel. But greater is he who's in you than he who's out there. And so, you've overcome him. 1 John 4:4, oh, You overcame because greater is he that is in you. 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Revelation's got a whole list of them. 2:7. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Chapter 2, verse 11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That's a good one, isn't it? You mean there's a second death? It's called hell. How many want to win that one? In Jesus. That's our hope right there. Hidden manna comes. Keep Revelation 2, 26. Any who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before the angels. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son and daughter. Friends, we're called to be overcomers. Now, I want you to just get in touch with the struggle that some of you no doubt are in. Let's all stand, shall we? With all my heart, I want to encourage you to read the entire Bible, all of it. Don't just take sound bites and highlights, but read it all and get the full counsel of God. Yeah? How many of you are really in a struggle right now? You're facing things. It can be health issues. It can be marriage issues. It can be career or job or problems or families or this or that. I want to lift any shame off of you. And I say, do not listen to the voice of the accuser who is saying to you things like, you can't make it work for you. It's working for those other guys, but it's not working for you. Why don't you just call it a day? Tell him to get lost and remind him that you're an overcomer. And if you're in the middle of things, I lift shame off of you right now. It's just your turn, that's all. And I want you to pray for me when it's my turn and I'm going through stuff. We all have a turn, but that's the neat thing about the family of God, that we're not all down at the same time. If I'm having a bad day, Carol will be having a good day, and she'll say, come on, baby, this is great, it's going to be okay, and da-da-da. We encourage each other. Then we come to church, we encourage each other. But you have to get real. You can't say, oh, I'm cool, everything's fine, when it's not fine. It's called honesty and integrity. If you're going through it right now, I want you to unashamedly raise your hand and say, you know, I've been discouraged. I've been wondering, what the heck's going on? God, where are you? Don't you care? Don't you love me anymore? That kind of stuff. All right, I'm going to invite those who have raised their hands just to come and gather around the front here with me, because I want to pray for you, and we're going to just remind ourselves that we're the champions of God today. Come on. let's just say, let's lift our face to the Lord together. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for ever doubting you. I put my trust in you. Catherine Kuhlman used to say something like this: as long as God is still on his throne and hears and answers prayer, and just so long as your faith in him is still intact, very, very important, then everything will come out all right. So the name of the game is the enemy trying to steal your faith, trying to get you discouraged, trying to point out your failures, this and that, and the other's going wrong, and you're just being used and abused and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Why don't you drop out and just tell him, no, I'm a lifer. I'm in this deal for all of my life. I gave my life to Jesus. It's not mine to take back, really, anymore. I totally surrendered to him. And you just begin to push that stuff back and wait to see the deliverance that God has for you. Now listen, that psalm said this: many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And that happens when you trust him. So I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if things can possibly get any worse than what they are right now. But I'm telling you what, I'm going to trust God and we're going through this thing. Why? Because you're an overcomer and you realize he has you in the palm of his hand and you're just being prepared to rule over cities one day. That's all. He wants to make a champion out of you and make a leader out of you. So lift up your hand to heaven. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for that love of God, that thick Holy Spirit glory that comes on us. But Lord, I am choosing today to be an overcomer. I'm not going to drop out by the grace of God. No, I'm not. I'm going to go through this thing with you. You will be with me every step of the way, just as you were with Joseph, just as you were with David, just as you were with Daniel, just as you were with Saul, Paul, and Peter and John and all of them. You are faithful to the end. You're a very, very good God. Thank you for loving me. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and begin to lift off despair and any discouragement and all heaviness and all accusation from the accuser that you're fat, ugly, stupid, and good for nothing. I break it off of you. And I release you into the Father's love. Into the fullness of his love. And Lord, let their roots go down deep into the soil of the Word of God and into the soil of the Spirit of God. And into this whole concept of we are overcomers because our King has overcome. And we want to be just like him. So Holy Spirit, will you please come and fall upon us now? Because we need you. We feel somewhat vulnerable right now. And we're standing here admitting that discouragement, in spite of our best efforts, discouragement got on us. And Lord, we tried to put on a good face and say, yeah, I'm cool, everything's fine, praise God. But yet inside there was that struggle going on and that battle going on. And Lord, we're here to say, okay, so now it's known, now it's out. But one thing goes with that. I commit myself to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. And I'm going through this thing as an overcomer for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and breathe in the breath of God right here. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to think just for a moment about how far he has brought you already. Think about where you used to be. You say, well, you're not a billionaire yet, but still, it's better than it was, you know. And we can't measure spirituality by dollars. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Friends, in a very little time, you and I will be standing before the excellence of his glory. Life is very temporal. Most of you are young, and you don't believe me. I remember my dad told me when I was about 17, he said, son, life is short. I said, what? For you, maybe. But something happens when you hit about 50. Anybody here 50 or more? A couple of you. You start to look around and go, how did I get here? 50. I bet you think 50's old, huh? Yeah. And it's true that it's life goes by very quick. And so in a very little time, all of us will be standing before the Lord in his presence. I know that it may well be that there are difficult times coming upon the world with all that's happening with blood moons and threats of war and ISIS and weather patterns gone crazy and all that kind of stuff. We just need to be ready to prepare ourselves for some last days kind of stuff. But what that means for me is the greatest harvest the world has ever seen on both sides of the coming of the Lord for his bride. So we've got some incredible victories just ahead of us. And if there's a few battles along the way, well, glory to God. Most of you guys, at least, like a little bit of competition, a little bit of fight, right? And so here we go. Let's get in there and fight this battle for souls and win. We had a word from a young guy named David Wagner, prophetic guy from Pensacola, Florida. And he talked to us about revival that would sweep up the East Coast and jump over the Atlantic into Europe and just set the world ablaze. Wouldn't it be amazing if it started right here? I mean, all the ingredients are here, Pastor. See, you don't have to be smart to figure it out. You just have to love it, that's all. And so, you know, what did you do to have revival? We just loved his presence. And you know, like any friend, he knows where he's loved and he hangs around. That's the Holy Spirit. He's hanging around you guys. He likes it here. So encourage one another. So turn to your friend right now and say, hey, it's not so bad. It won't be long before we're out of here. Meanwhile, we're going to be overcomers in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Now, I want you to turn to somebody beside you, your friend or whatever, and just pray the fire of God down upon them. Now, here's why. Before we do it, listen. When you're overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, a few little things wrong doesn't even faze you. That's how Paul did it in prison. The anointing was on him. So he wasn't preoccupied with his own back. And so you are at your best when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're at your best. So pray that fire on one another right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the kingdom of heaven would come and the will of God would be done. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fire on them here. Fire on them here in Jesus' wonderful name. Sharabasatakatasha. Kingdom of God, come. Fire on them in Jesus' name. Let it come. Yo! Lord, take this church to a whole new level. A whole new level in God. We're stepping out of that pity party stuff, and we're going to go for it as more than conquerors through Him who loves us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now let me do one more thing before we transition into more ministry. If you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Christ, maybe your friend has talked to you about it, maybe your grandmother did or whatever, but you've like, I don't see any reality in it, this and that. And for whatever reason, you have said no to the Lord. I'm not wanting to be a Jesus freak. I'm not wanting to get involved in that. But you're here today. Or it may be that you once were serving Him, but you got discouraged with some of the things we were talking about. And you got hurt in church, and you got beat up by the pastor or whatever, and so you fell away. Or it may be that you went after a career or a relationship or an education that talked you out of the most precious treasure that you'd ever laid hold of. And you know this morning in your heart of hearts that you need to come on back home, and you need to surrender to Him and get right with God. Because, see, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You need to know that. And that's not narrow. It's actually pretty broad when you think about what happened. God the Son came to the earth and traded His perfect life for your life and paid your debt of rebellion and sin and anger and all the rest of it. He paid that off for you. The moment you believe, yes, Jesus, You are my rescuer, You are my Savior, I believe You paid my debt, you go instantly from death to life. But up until that point, you have no hope in eternity. See, Jesus did not come and die a horrible death on the cross because it would make a great movie. It was absolutely essential that something be done about your sin and mine. That debt was outstanding, and it had to be paid. And He came willingly and lovingly and paid it for you so that if you will humble yourself and admit that you've been wrong and admit your guilt, you can be totally pardoned and set free today. What great news we have to share with the world. And so if any of that describes you, you've never said yes to Him, or you once did and you're away from Him, I want you right now to just get real, get honest with God, and admit that you need a Savior. Because, see, it has to begin in your heart. Nobody can twist your arm here, manipulate you into saying the words and that will count. No, you need to get real with God. It has to be sincere. So if that's you, just bow your head a moment and just say to him, Lord, I want you in my life. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I want him in my life. I want Jesus as my Savior. And see, we're not talking about you got to join this church or you got to do this or do that. No, this is, there's nothing to do except believe that it's all been done already. Jesus did it all. He paid your debt. So if you just prayed that prayer and you just told the Lord you want him in your heart, unashamedly hold your hand up high and wave it at me right here. Is there anyone in this room? God bless you. Unashamedly hold it up and wave it for a moment. I can hardly see you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Can we just open it up in the front a little bit? Those of you that raised your hands, listen to me. If you were serious, and I know you are, I want you to come up at the front and just stand here because I want to pray with you. And so, and please don't be ashamed of this because this is the greatest day of your life, all right? This is a very, very, very good day. And so if you raised your hand back there, and I can't see very good with the lights, but also... if you came with a friend, you might just lean over to them and say, hey, should you be up at the front with these others for this prayer? And if they say, yeah, probably, then bring them along. Just bring them. Come on. Come a little closer, guys. Come on. Lord, I thank you for these friends here. I thank you for each and every one of them. They're precious. And we know that life can be, life can be hard. And people are full of betrayal. And there's the sins that we do, and then there's the sins that is done to us. And it's just overwhelming sometimes. But I thank you that they have said yes to Jesus today. Let's all say this together. You pray it as a prayer of remembrance. But you guys, you five or so at the front, I want you to pray this out loud with all of us, but mean it with all your heart, all right? Just a little prayer that says, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I want you in my life, okay? Here we go. Dear Jesus, I come to you this morning, and I admit that I have sinned. Or I got discouraged and I fell away. But I want you in my life. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead for me. I open my heart to you now. Come into my heart. Wash me clean from all my sins. I say no to the accuser and yes to the Spirit of God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, I choose to forgive everyone that owes me and that hurt me. I give them a gift that they do not deserve. My forgiveness. Just like you gave me a gift I didn't deserve, your forgiveness. So I forgive them because I want to be free. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Lord, I just bless each of them right here. I ask you to come with your holy power and rest on them. May this be a glorious new beginning with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and with friends in this community. Come, Holy Spirit, just fill them up right here. In Jesus' name. Just breathe that in right there. Just breathe it in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless her. That's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't see him, but he's very real. He's like the wind in that way. You don't see the wind, but you can feel it. And just blow on them and refresh them. In Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you guys to open up a Bible and start to read the book of John. And let it be God's love letter to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, said Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Life does not end at death, friends. Life with God never ends. You just go from glory to glory. You go from good to better to best. And so enjoy the ride, won't you? Thanks, Holy Spirit. Fill her now. Fill them with love and joy and peace. You know, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, you need to realize the fruit of the Spirit, or what he's like, is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and self-control. All those good things. That's what you get when you get him.
Yeah.
The whole world looking for peace, and it's right under their noses. With Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bless them all, Father. Bless them all. In the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. All right, well, turn to one another and just pray fire on them right now. Would you do that? Just come, Holy Spirit, just come and get them and fill them up. Fire on her here. Fire on her here. Yeah.